This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Welcome back in to Hit and Run on 670 The Score. It is me, Matt Spiegel, and that is Champagne Supernova by Oasis. And I think my next guest, Kevin Brown. You're my only Brown, by the way, on the show today. I think my next guest, Kevin Brown, can agree that this is the best Champagne Supernova has ever sounded, I think. Like, played on AM radio and heard through a telephone into a hotel room, this is the peak of a musical experience for you. True?
When Noel Gallagher was on whatever substances he was on in the mid-1990s writing Champagne Supernova, this is the moment he dreamed of.
It has an emotional complexity, and Kevin Brown is the television voice of the Orioles, but a hardcore Oasis fan and a bon vivant of various influences. There's an emotional complexity to this song that makes it, it rewards repeat listening, doesn't it?
I think so, but I've also repeated listening to it for, I don't know, 20 some odd years now, so I'm a little biased.
Yeah.
I pick up new things in the mix at the end of the song all the time.
Yeah.
There were years and years that went by before I realized they actually had a guest guitarist on. Paul Weller is at the end of the mix, and there's another version of it at one of the deluxe editions where you can hear his part a little more clearly. Yeah. I know this is what people want to hear.
Yes.
This is one of the defining songs of the 90s and of the Britpop era, I think.
Yeah, I think so. But it has the happy and the sad and the longing. And so that mix of emotions, and I'm not talking about the Orioles season. Really, I'm not.
But in a way you are.
In a way I am. But in a way I'm also talking about the week that we've been through with the loss of Ryne Sandberg. In processing these emotions here this week, it's been very sad, but also so happy and filled with laughter and also longing. And I promise you I'm getting somewhere with this. Seeing Cal Ripken of the Orioles here on Friday at Wrigley made me want to ask you if the vibes are similar, because I've comped Sandberg to Ripken a little bit on the radio this week in terms of just a beauty and an elegance and a respect with which he played the game, and seemingly kind of a stateliness and an honor to which he has gone about just about everything. Sandberg and Ripken is the comp fair.
I think it is, and we actually had Cal on the air with us on Friday, and we asked him about Ryne. I said, obviously, you two were in different leagues. Were you close at all? And he said, we really became close, not just from the 90 All-Star game at Wrigley, but from all of the All-Star games. I mean, they must have overlapped at 8 or 9 different All-Star games. And then Cal said they were in Japan together playing on an exhibition team, and Cal and Rhino were the double play combination. Imagine that.
Wow.
That is like baseball nirvana, Ripken and Sandberg up the middle. And we could have had Cal on for three innings, just talking about turning two with Ryan Sandberg, and I would have been a happy man.
Yeah, no, understandably. Pretty intense couple of days for you to spend at Wrigley and to see all the tributes and to feel the energy and emotion in the place. What was that like from your perspective, Kevin?
So this was my third series at Wrigley. My third ever big league series here was in 2017, and then I came here with the Orioles again 3 years ago. I'm not going to be breaking any news for local listeners of your show. I know that. I just hope people understand from an outsider perspective how special it is and how special it is for me to come to that place and for, I think, all of us to be at that place. Like, just going out after the game in Wrigleyville Friday, there were so many Orioles fans, and they were all just so tickled to be there after a 1-0 loss. After their team had traded away a third of the roster in the 36 hours beforehand, and then they had gotten three hit and not scored, people are just so happy to be there. I think you captured the emotions of it well. It was really emotional. It was wonderful that we got to be there on such a, frankly, such an action-packed weekend in the city. I mean, the city has felt alive all weekend with Lollapalooza, with the giant card show going around, and obviously with the Cubs and the awarding of the All-Star game and all the Rhino tributes. It's a special place that, like, really has to be seen to be believed. And I wish we could come there every year. But the interleague thing, getting to go there now every 2 years, I just makes me, as a fan of the sport and as an appreciator of all this, it makes me just force myself to soak it in more and just spend a few minutes sitting in the seats and looking out at the field, because I imagine if you work at Wrigley Field, maybe it can get a little old hat. It's your office. But for us, it's like not a once in a lifetime experience, because you go every other year, but it's an experience where you really want to slow down time and just take it all in.
Does Fenway give you a similar vibe, or have you been to Fenway enough now that it's, you know, I wonder what do you, compare the feelings and vistas, if you would.
Yeah, I've said for years that outside of Camden Yards, which is a genuinely special place to work, and I work there 70, 80 times a year, I can't really compare anything to it, that Fenway is my favorite visiting ballpark. I leave this series feeling like, oh no, it's actually Wrigley, and then we'll be at Fenway in a couple of weeks and maybe I'll feel the same. Those two have a real hold on me, and I would say I've only been there for one series, but Dodger Stadium too.
Yeah,
those two, and then Dodger Stadium, which are, you know, not coincidentally the three oldest parks. But yeah, my baseball loving brain, right, the kid who just grew up getting as many baseball books in the library as he could get his hands on, like those three parks have a hold on me in a way that others don't. And Fenway, you know, we're only there twice a year now. We're not there three times a year like we used to be, so that helps it from getting old hat. But I love all those places dearly.
All right, good. Kevin Brown of the Orioles television booth is here. And I walked down the hall and joined you and Ben McDonald
slowly
to say,
walking down the hall?
Yeah, faster than a cannonball? Depends on the day and how the knee feels, you know? But it was, it's interesting. You mentioned it, trading away a big pile of the team. And there yesterday, I'm literally thinking, no offense to this version of Adley Rutschman, but I'm literally thinking yesterday, Gunnar Henderson's the only dude that scares me on that entire team. And there he was with the 3-run homer off a lefty in the eighth inning. Is that unfair to say about this Orioles bunch that traded a bunch of people away that Gunnar Henderson is the only scary dude? What happened, Kevin? I thought there was this massive pile of position players that were all going to arrive at the same time, like the 90s Cleveland Indians, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it happened for a couple of years, and this has just been one of those years where there's no short answer to what happened. Gunnar Henderson's had a really good year, which also feels like a comparative disappointment because of the standards he set last year when he finished fourth in the MVP voting. I mean, it's a different answer for everybody, right? It's Gunnar Henderson missed the final month of spring training with essentially an oblique issue, an intercostal issue, and probably came back a little too soon and hasn't found the power stroke quite yet, but is still a super productive player. Jackson Holliday has been up and down, but on the whole, really, really good for a 21-year-old. Adley Rutschman had a great first week, then a bad stretch, then some bad batted ball luck, then started to get out of it, then he went on the IL for the first time in his career, missed 30 games. Jordan Westberg had an amazing first few days, got hurt, tried to play through it, got hurt again, came back, bruised his same finger on his left hand twice in a 10-day span, hitting it in second. So it's been one wild thing after another. But I did look at that lineup yesterday and think, okay, after all of the trades, like, we have confirmation of who this team believes the core is. It's Holliday at second. It's Westberg at third. It's Henderson at short. It's Rutschman at catcher. We'll see if it's Kobe Mayo at first, who's a 23-year-old who's starting to figure it out. We'll see if it's maybe Samuel Basayo, who's one of the better hitting prospects in the sport, who can catch and play first, who's very, very close in AAA right now. And they've got to fill in the margins, obviously, now in the offseason. They've got a lot of work to do because they traded away a ton of relievers, and they had a couple of those relievers they knew would be gone anyway going into free agency, but they still believe in that core. And you could probably throw Colton Cowser in there, though he's had an up and down year. I think Heston Kerstad taking a big step back has been a disappointment relative to expectations. He was the second pick overall in 2020, but I think the Holliday, Westberg, Henderson, Rutschman, Cowser core, they still believe in that. They're still going to be a few years together of that core. And it's incumbent now upon the front office to fill in the gaps around them, which they were able to do with a lot better injury luck, to be fair, in 23 and 24. And that is part of the story. It's not the whole story. Anybody who tells you it's just injuries is not giving you the full picture. But anyone who doesn't say injuries is also not giving you the full picture. So we'll see. I think Jordan Westberg will be a guy, and maybe this is, you know, my bias watching him for a season. He's another guy who would scare me as an opposing team. And he set up the whole thing, the whole gutter home run with a two-strike single. So I think he's a really special player. And it just seems like the Orioles, with and without Westberg hitting in the two-hole, are a different team. But Gunnar, man, that was a good reminder yesterday of how uncommonly good this guy can be. Against Caleb Thielbar, who's so nasty and weird from the left side and never gives up any hits to lefties, to take him out as a lefty in Wrigley on a day where you've got to hit it like 111 to get it through the wind, and he hit it 111 and got it through the wind. So that guy is a future MVP, I think. And I think we'll look at this year as a blip on the radar screen. And probably, by the way, a blip on the radar screen where he's still like a 5-6 WAR player.
Yeah. Right. That's a pretty good blip.
Pretty good blip.
Pretty good blip. Kevin Brown is the TV voice of the Orioles on Hit and Run here for another couple of minutes. This is the hardest sport to be good at. Right. I mean, it's like, to me, it's far and away the hardest sport to be good at. And as a team, it's the hardest sport to like figure out what the secret sauce is. So when I see a trend and we've seen it developing, it's palpable, and then teams copy it. I gave the number earlier in the show. The relievers in the postseason last year accounted for 52% of all the innings that were pitched. And it's so that's where we are. And I got to think that's a big reason, as I ask you to zoom out and think about trends of the game, I got to think that's a big reason why there was like confusion and inactivity with some of the big time starting pitchers, because the value is shifting on those guys, even amongst very smart front offices.
I had this thought when I looked at the Mets, because the Mets need a starter. The Mets know they need a starter. We know the Mets need a starter. And you look at their rotation now, and it's Sean Manaea, Clay Holmes, David Peterson, Kodai Senga, Frankie Montas. It's not a bad rotation. I don't know if I'd say it's a good rotation. But the Mets decided, let's just get Ryan Helsley and Taylor Rogers and Gregory Soto, and we got Brooks Raley back, and that's fine. And it might be fine because of the number you just gave. And I'm glad you found that. I've been thinking about this with a couple of other teams, the Yankees too. Like, why didn't anybody go get a Joe Ryan or, you know, pay prospect premium to get a big starter?
That's the Cubs conversation.
That's the trend in the game. Like, it's the same thing. And we saw it 2 nights ago on Friday or 2 days ago when the Cubs took Cade Horton out after five and said, okay, Fielbar and Kittredge and Keller and Pulenzi, you're not household names, but they shortened the game effectively. And I think the Yankees are trying to do that and the Mets are trying to do that. And I long for the days of seven-inning starting pitching duels in the postseason. I don't think we're ever going to get back to that. And these teams are not dumb. Like, these teams are not run by you know, 18-year-olds who can't get out of their computers. These are thoughtful baseball people that the Cubs have and the Mets have and the Yankees have. And if they're determining this is the right way to build a championship team, they're probably on to something.
It's pretty fascinating. And you know what's going to happen now, right, is that the Rangers are going to make a crazy run and win the World Series based right. on four starters going eight innings every time. That's probably what's going to happen.
Evaldi's going to throw 46 innings in the postseason now.
All right, Kevin Brown, a StatCast tonight. Tell us about and where to find StatCast and how to enjoy you this evening on Sunday Night Baseball.
Sure. We have six of these shows. This is the fifth of six. Actually, next week is our StatCast finale, and it's Cubs-Cardinals, so I hope people will check that out. It's Sunday night. It's 6 Central on ESPN2, and we have these half dozen alternate broadcasts. They're called the StatCast shows. I would encourage folks not to be too scared when you hear StatCast. We are happily nerdy. We geek out about baseball numbers for sure. It's me. It's Trevor May, who pitched in the big leagues for 9 years. It's the great Mike Petriello, who's the director of research and stats at MLB.com. And it's a different take on the game. We'll have this pitch predictor up on the screen, on the right side of the screen the whole time, which tells you how likely it is a certain pitch has thrown. It gives you these great visuals, these heat maps of where a pitcher throws and where a batter does his damage. And basically, we're going to try to partly predict, but also analyze the game and see trends through some numbers that fans know and then through some numbers that fans don't. So you're going to hear about why Charlie Morton has been more effective the last couple of months in terms of his changeup. The spin has changed. Has he changed the grip? What makes Charlie Morton's curveball unique? We've heard all for many years about why Charlie Morton's breaking ball is good. Specifically, why is it good? Riley Green of the Tigers has the highest uppercut swing in baseball by swing tilt. What does that mean? How are teams going to pitch him? And we can follow how the Phillies attack him all game. So we have all these things, and Mike and Trevor come up with so much different stuff that there's really never a dull moment. So I hope folks will check it out. I hope they'll give us a few minutes. If you like it, great. If not, there's a traditional broadcast on ESPN, but it's a fun and creative new way to look at the game. And the last thing I'll say on this is I don't want people to be scared off by the numbers. They can be scary to some folks, but basically what we want to do is enhance your enjoyment of the game. And we think that some stats and some numbers and some visuals, which you might not think of, are going to make you put some context on some cool things.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that so cool? So context matters, and we think it's context that people will really enjoy. We love doing these shows, and we hope that people will say, let's see what this is all about. Settle in for a few batters, learn a few things, and maybe keep settling in. So ESPN2 tonight, and then next week we get to do Cubs-Cardinals, and I'm very fortunate. I just saw the Cubs. So that's going to make my prep a lot easier for next week.
Someday you will find Kevin Brown caught beneath the statistical landslide.
That's right.
That's Sunday nights. I tried. It's a little bit of a stretch, but you're kind to allow it. Kevin, thank you for the time, man. Appreciate it. Enjoy your ball game tonight.
Thank you so much, Matt.
You got it. This Orioles group, says Chris on Twitter just now, gives me White Sox vibes from a few years ago, when we all thought what would or could be. I Thought new Orioles ownership would do Baltimore wonders, but so far, woof. That's from Chris Lowy. Yeah, Chris, I feel like the Baltimore ownership missed an opportunity here to put them over the top with some pitching expenditures. And then the young core has exposed itself as not being quite as good as expected. Of course, because how could they possibly be? Enjoy the conversation with Kevin Brown very, very much. Let's talk Red Hot White Sox next on Hit and Run with James Fegan from Sox Machine. And keep it here between now and the Cubs game at 12:45. I'll get you the full lineup, which is an interesting one. You'll hear from the newest Cubs pitcher, who is going to debut for the team tomorrow. And you're also going to hear some of the best Ryan Sandberg content from the entire week that I want to make sure I bring to you before we get out of here. It's Hit and Run here on 670. The Score. Today, the Cubs finished their series at Wrigley against the Orioles. Pregame coverage begins at 12:45. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer have the first pitch at 1:20 on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
3-2 here to Joe Adele. Oh, man, Aaron Savali. Three strikeouts to the first four hitters.
Yeah, he's had the entire package of pitches. This is a 3-2 cutter. To Joe Adele, hello, it's me. Bullseye with that cutter. Well, you're laser locked in tonight, too. You didn't even get my Adele thing there. Well, Joe Adele, hello, it's me.
I did.
With Adele?
Oh, okay.
You are laser locked in.
I'm loving this performance from Savali right
boy,
now.
You are locked in
okay,
right now.
I like it. I like it.
I'll sing.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Adele doing hello and it's me are the other lyrics. I gotta say, when Plesak went there, I went Todd Rundgren. I went old school to hello, it's me, but Todd Rundgren, but he's on it. He's on it. Dan Plesak's been fun on these broadcasts. But the real story is how fun the White Sox have been. Yeah, I just said that. The White Sox, fun. And you know what? They've been playing pretty well and clean and energetic for a lot of this year, and now the results are there with him. Let's talk about it with our friend James Fegan from Sox Machine, who joins us on Hit and Run right now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. James, I like this team. It's pretty, it's nice, and it feels a little bit like a, not a surprise to me, but it's funny. We had a caller earlier in the show who said he feels like he has reunited with an estranged old friend. You know what I mean? Like he's watching the games and enjoying it. It's a pleasing experience these days, isn't it?
Why are they estranged, though? Are they coming back just to loop you in again? Is that what's going on?
Well,
also, I also thought Todd Rundgren, so I'm going to be looking in my mail for like my AARP card.
Yes, yeah.
So.
Get your if folks, if that's the reference you thought it was, get your affairs in order, everybody. Yes, you should do that. But yeah, but like the 10-4 since the break, and overall the offensive numbers have been really, really good since the break. But just in terms of the winning, did you see a stretch like this coming at some point this year?
No, not exactly. For a multitude of reasons, you probably expected them to tear down a bit more of the deadline than they wound up doing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I guess in terms of results, they traded their best starting pitcher and, they came out of the break like crushing lefties and losing Slater will lose that. But you didn't see like the team kind of get reshaped in some major way. They also like their schedule is supposed to pick up a little bit, in the second half, like playing the Rays, playing the Phillies, that was playing the Cubs. That was supposed to take a little bit more steam out of what they're doing and instead to win two out of those three series. What was supposed to be kind of.
But just in terms of the winning, did you see a stretch like this coming at some point this year?
No, not exactly. For a multitude of reasons, you probably expected them to tear down a bit more of the deadline than they wound up doing,
mm-hmm.
obviously. I guess in terms of results, they traded their best starting pitcher and, they came out of the break like crushing lefties and losing Slater will lose that. But you didn't see like the team kind of get reshaped in some major way. They also like their schedule is supposed to pick up a little bit, in the second half, like playing the Rays, playing the Phillies, that was playing the Cubs. That was supposed to take a little bit more steam out of what they're doing and instead to win two out of those three series. What was supposed to be kind of, them being outclassed a little bit talent wise, that didn't quite go the way that we anticipated. There's things in this, like going 10-4, that like how can the kids sustain this? Is this a mirage or something like that? But like even dreaming on a 10-4 stretch was not something you could really even envision happening this year, I would think.
So as we try to figure out what's sustainable, what has happened with Colson Montgomery? It's like no homers in the first 14 games and now six homers in a stretch of 9 games. I love the tools. If he's that kind of power hitter, then you're really talking about something, obviously. Have there been adjustments? What's the narrative here with why this has happened?
I as much as I'm hesitant to give in to the trending topic, he did hit all six homers since switching to a torpedo bat, which I obviously at the beginning of the year, maybe they got overblown how much impact it could have, but hearing him talk about it, like the explanation of why it would work for him, very long arms, trying to extend and get to his power and, seeing him get pitched inside a lot in the first week he was up in the majors. It's allowing him to kind of get to inner half pitches and barrel them a bit more than he was before. And you're clearly seeing the impact. At the same time, like he swings the bat like 80 miles an hour sometimes. Like there's a level of bat speed that like really what didn't exist on the team outside of Luis Robert, where it's going to be really easy to stay optimistic on him through the struggles that inevitably come. Cause you're just going to see a quantified level of tools and power that like, all right, well, we should probably stay committed to getting this dude right because when he is the ball, leave the yard to any part.
Talking with James Fegan here on Sox Machine, I really like Edgar Caro, and I like that his bat has been getting in there a lot, and sometimes at DH. And it's nice to see sometimes he and Teal both in there. In the lineup together, who of the young offensive pieces who've all been playing, at a higher level at least since the break, who are you most optimistic about of the young offensive players?
Like picking your favorite child, sort of a situation.
Oh, you've got one. You've got one. Don't pretend you don't.
Well, Caro doesn't have like the super high toolsy ceiling. Like he just doesn't have like an insane level of bat speed or like, exit velos, but the dude has like always hit through the minors. He's had, you know, pretty consistent power through the minors, like more like the 10 to 15 home run a season range than like upper stratosphere, but has always like had good swing decisions, has done everything at being young to the level throughout. Kind of has like, I like the 38-year-old man don't want to tell like the 22-year-old to like, hey, like loosen up, but he's very serious. Like he's very driven. It's a bit of like a profile that I feel like could have been overlooked tools wise if he hadn't just performed at every level throughout. So that's a guy I just think has been, you know, very durable in terms of his performance. And obviously the confidence that you can have that he's going to stick at catcher and the way he's kind of like had his steady upward trend, and, you know, him and Adrian Hauser like work well together, like very different sides of the world. The way they got into baseball, but having a lot of chemistry and having a lot of trust in his pitch calling. I just think even if I don't see like a star or like Mike Piazza level offensive contributions down the road, I feel like I've seen someone who has kind of the all around skill set to kind of be a survivor, so to speak. But that's not to say like Kyle Teal doesn't seem like has been getting on base and is getting into a little bit more power. And, you know, we've swung to all the different sides of the pendulum with Colton Montgomery with, you know, do we rule him out as being a major part of the core going forward to like, is he the highest ceiling hitter that they have in the lineup? But he has the tool to be exciting. And, you know, alongside of it, like Chase Meidroff doesn't have a ton of power, but if you meet him or talk to him or watch him play, like that guy's a cage fighter. Like you can never rule him out. So in answering your question, picking one, I've listed four that I thought I am fond of in terms of watching them play.
No, but it's cool because you gave us a nice little thumbnail on them, and they're all different. Colson's definitely the one that lets you dream the most. It lets you dream big, and that part is fun. All right, let's touch on the deadline in a couple of ways. Massive success in the sign and flip to turn Adrian Hauser from a May acquisition off the couch into whatever these prospects become. That is tremendous success. I don't know how much goes to the org and how much goes to Hauser himself. You get a sense?
They signed him. They gave him a chance. They gave him a run and it worked. I think if you talk to Hauser, it's about the mechanical changes he made in the offseason, which is not to say like the White Sox did nothing, but like they signed a guy who was pitching well and let him cook. So I don't know why you'd mess with him after acquiring him, but he really feels like what he did in the offseason in terms of like his mechanics and getting more velo out and adding sharpness to his secondaries on top of that was what really cued it. And there was, I actually, like, because his ERA was inflated in AAA, like, you kind of think a fixed job because he came with a 5.02, like, a AAA ERA when they acquired him. It was kind of like two blow-up outings, one of which was like, you know, basically got rained out, and outing where you have seven runs in the third of inning that spiked his ERA. I think he'd look more like a straightforward veteran starter pitching well in AAA without those outings. And the last game he had before they signed him was like an out shy of a complete game shutout. So he was kind of rolling when they got him. So if you want to give like credit to like, hey, he trains the offseason and knew him for years, you could give the credit to the White Sox that way, but mostly they identified somebody who would be a good player at low cost and gave him a shot, and it worked out.
Yeah, it did. And then holding on to Robert, I guess they are going to pick up the option. And I thought Jim wrote about it thoughtfully. Jim Margulis wrote about it thoughtfully on your site. I'm having trouble wrapping my head around it. I got to be honest. I'm on the side of like, why not take what you can get? You know, are you convinced that they will pick up the option? And where are you on this decision right now?
I'm convinced they've rhetorically boxed themselves into a corner where they'll look very silly if they don't pick up the option. They've been telling everyone they're going to for a while. Like, it'd be one thing if you just told me that, but you wouldn't told Ken Rosenthal that. Now you're really going to be held accountable. I get it. Like, I think their general view towards like a lot of their deadline pieces was what we'll get return wise wouldn't really move the needle. So let's talk about like what the benefits would be to keeping him. I think you could apply that to like Mike Tauchman. Like, seriously, he could be moved. Like, there'll be a team that wants him. It's not like he can't be traded, but like, are you getting like a future regular? And for a 34-year-old kind of, you know, he doesn't need to be platoon, but I think a postseason team would probably platoon him. Outfielder? Yeah, probably not. And, you know, we like him. We think he has a good influence in the clubhouse. We could have another year control. We don't have to make a decision now. He wants to stay here. Well, why bother? So I think there's a similar vein with Robert where it's, he's going to be essentially priced out as, you know, a second division starter in center field, or, you know, kind of a guy who can whack lefties. And yeah, that would help. Every little bit of depth you can add to the org helps. But is that really like something to, you know, turn the ship around or not really? If you're really like, hey, this guy is a centerpiece of the lineup, or we feel like there's still a ceiling there, or we think we can get him back, and it's not actually like this big albatross to keep him out with Kevin, that there's no other salary in the payroll, why not? Like, why strip the team down further and break the momentum of what we're doing? It's not really like passing up. So I guess that's the argument for it. It's as far as like, do I think if Luis Robert was a free agent and the White Sox would do like a 120 like Riskit deal for him, like, nah, it's not really the type of like bargains you see a rebuilding team doing, or the type of deals you see him strike. So it seems a little bit like, would you do this if it wasn't Luis Robert who you put all this time and energy in? I don't know. And when the decision doesn't have that sort of objective backing, it makes you a little queasy. But I think it's a more interesting team down the stretch watching Luis Robert and see if he can get right again or build up what he's doing. I'd like to hear a bit more about like what's going to get him rolling against right-handed pitching again, because that's been an issue for a little bit now. But it's not a, man, you cost yourself like a prospect bounty by doing this level decision. So I could see it being going wrong, but I don't see it being super costly, other than, you know, for Jerry and picking up $20 million.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. So I guess that must have been greenlit, because it's not like, I think even with the 20, that puts him at like 37 for next year. Right. It's not that big a deal, but I could see, I mean, it's not my $20 million. So I'm not going to fret about it, but I agree. If they don't pick it up, it's not going to make a lot of sense. And it'll take me to the Bulls, not, you know, trading Vooch or something like that. You know, but then the Bulls have Vooch for another year, and all of a sudden I'm talking basketball and I'm regretting my life. That's not what I'm doing.
Part of it is like, what are they going to do in free agency anyway? Is you're coming back with essentially, let's assume Tauchman's, you know, being tendered in arbitration. Like, you have kind of like a starting outfield. You need like a fourth or platoon guys to help out.
Yeah.
You have Colson, Mydroff, Vargas, you know, Curtis Meade on the infield. You have your two catchers, obviously. You have Cannon, Martin, Burke, Shane Smith, Drew Thorpe, and Mason Adams. Like, all these guys are guys coming back rotation-wise. It's sure, you should probably add like a veteran starter into that mix. But other than that, it's like bullpen pieces. So, were they kind of looking at like, we weren't really going to sign a lot of free agents on top of this anyway, let's just do this sort of rationale, and we're not going to maybe do a lot better on the center field market than we would with Robert? It might be foreshadowing a more limited free agency, because they kind of want to let their young guys have some run anyway, and thus you're paying it now rather than to set up maybe what looks like a quieter winter, especially since you don't have any traditional trade pieces like Crochet that you had last winter to kind of restock things with.
Since July the 7th, when he joined the major league roster of the Milwaukee Brewers, Andrew Vaughn has an on-base percentage of .431 and a slugging percentage of .726. His 1.157 OPS in that time, fourth best in MLB. Why is baseball, is my question, James.
Well, he did get picked third overall, so he is talented. Is he supposed to end up in a gutter somewhere for it to really feel like it's a good trade?
No, no, it's just like, is it, I mean, we don't know. Is it a change of scenery? Is this batting Kopech? Like somebody with just, who had talent, just needed to clear the mind and clear all the influences and quiet the voices and get scared into action as well. I mean, maybe that's just the human quality that's going on.
I think it certainly helps to be in a winning operation for him. It looks like he's, you know, made a little bit of swing changes and be more compact and also be able to been able to generate some speed, and obviously they should look into why he's able to click there mechanically and if they can duplicate it. But, you know, like talking to Gavin Sheets about being the Padres earlier this year, like it's a little bit harder to stick with your approach if you're coming up there, bases empty, two outs, down 4-0, like all the time. It's a lot easier for that sort of dude to,
yep,
hey, I was trying to move the runner over and I lined the ball to the gap. That's an easier mentality and approach to have. And, you know, maybe Vaughn being in winning situations that obviously helped him a little bit. We've also seen him get hot before here, and he's even had, you know, above average offensive seasons before. So it's not like him being good for a month is something White Sox fans have never seen and there's never been any evidence of, and this is proof that he was being mismanaged the whole time. But it, I mean, above all, is that, like, I felt it wasn't going to happen here. So you can be upset that it's happening elsewhere and be more that, like, why were they not able to get, you know, the obvious hitting talent to show up more here? But from where they're at, for him kind of just struggling in AAA and not doing much, I think they kind of did what they had to do from that aspect. And they've been, it's not like there was insufficient levels of, like, beating your head against the wall trying to get Andrew Vaughn to be Andrew Vaughn done here. So it's lamentable how his, like, tenure went out, but I'm, you know, more happier for Andrew that he is finding a way to click than, like, man, why didn't they give him just 300 more at bats? Then surely would have happened in Chicago.
I know I've kept you a long time, but now I realize I have to ask. As the guy who wrote maybe my favorite thing I ever read on Mark Burley, way back when you were a blogger, way back then.
Oh, man.
I mean, but it was beautiful. It was when Burley retired, I think it was. How do you feel about the statue? And did they get it right? And boy, he seemed like he's in a good place when he was back here visiting. It was nice.
I mean, I feel like he's been a good place his whole career. Like, he's never been someone I've thought would be haunted by the game. Wanting to come back. I mean, he seemed to like it. The sculpture has basically done all the sculptures that are on the concourse. I thought he brought the same level of care. I thought it wasn't a moment that they isolated. The Game 3 save, like, if you told me, like, we're doing a statue of the Game 3 save, I'd almost think, like, oh, so is he drinking a beer?
Yes! Like, yes! Yes!
So, like, that would be, like, the one critique I have is, like, it's not really a moment anyone, like, really thinks of, like, him on the mound. Like, I barely remember any of the pitches he threw in that save. Given his state of mind, maybe he doesn't either. So, like, the flip through the legs, or, like, him putting his hands on his head, like, after the perfect game, or, like, it's fine. It's Burley. I appreciate it. It's just not maybe like one of the seminal like images in my head of what Mark Burley was or his biggest triumphs. But also like what Mark Burley wasn't really, having watched him for so long, like what I associate Mark Burley with is not like these crazy high peaks he had, but probably more just like 7 innings, 3 runs allowed, 88 pitches. Like,
yep.
That's probably like, Burley is more like an institution that I, or like, you know, somebody I could set my watch to than like someone I thought of like even for dizzying highs, which is ironic given that he had so many.
James, go back to your Sunday, man. Thank you for the time. Nice to catch up. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Glad we could do this.
All right, you got it. It's James Fegan right there from Sox Machine. It speaks with you here on 670 The Score. My favorite stuff about Sandberg from earlier in the week will come your way at the top of the hour. But when we come back, crazy tales of the trade deadline. I got two separate ones for you next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Two coming. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Tarek Skubal woke up this morning feeling fine. On a day like today, what can you do as a batter?
10th strikeout, the 2-2, swing and a miss. He's got it. Another double-digit strikeout game for Zach Wheeler as he strikes out Torkelson for the first out of the inning.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Yesterday, both Tarek Skubal and Zach Wheeler had 10 strikeouts and no walks. It's just unbelievable. For Wheeler, it's his 15th game in history in his life. Doing that puts him 11th overall. Randy Johnson did it 36 times. 36 games where he struck out at least 10 and walked nobody. Just outrageous. Skubal's, you know, I think he's the best pitcher in the game. I think he's the best there is. You know, fastball up there at 99 all the way through to the end of the game. Nasty changeups in the high 80s. Just unbelievably effective. The Tigers with some deals, minor ones. The Phillies with some deals, bigger ones. But I'll tell you, a couple stories from this deadline jumped out at me. One is the oddness and the sadness of what the Twins did, where they got rid of 10 different players from the big league roster. 10! And this is how ruthless the Twins fire sale was. They have a 27-year-old reliever named Louis Varland, who's from Minnesota. And Bob Nightingale wrote about him today. Varland adores being a Twin, making the major league minimum, under control, not even eligible for arbitration for two more years, sent to the Toronto Blue Jays along with Ty France. And apparently Louis Varland was absolutely devastated, leaving Twins players seething as to why the Twins would trade a valuable reliever with 5 years of control, who was born and raised in St. Paul. His wife and his family came to every single home game, and they traded him because they traded everybody. The only guy they didn't trade is Buxton, and they asked him, would you like to be here? And he said, yeah. And they're like, okay, fine. They traded everybody else except Joe Ryan as well. So they got Buxton, they got Joe Ryan. But my goodness, Louis Varland, what did he ever do to you? And then this, Eugenio Suarez's Arizona Diamondbacks landed on Thursday in Sacramento for their series with the A's. And the Mariners were on their way leaving Sacramento, okay? Because they had just played the A's. And Seattle's traveling staff had to figure out how they were going to get Eugenio Suarez to Seattle. They were maybe going to have him fly commercial with his wife and his daughters who had come along for the trip to Sacramento. And they're like, all right, we could have the four of them fly early on Thursday morning. Maybe that makes the most sense. But then they all realized that Suarez would be at the airport at the same time that Seattle's buses were arriving at the airport. And they looked on their plane manifest and realized on their 72-seat plane, they had four empty seats. So Eugenio Suarez took an Uber from the public rideshare area of the airport to the private section of the airport where he had to get rescreened by security. And he essentially went from one plane to another, one team to another. And as he got on the plane, his old Seattle teammates exploded with joy and excitement and surprise to see him get on the plane. And an A's clubhouse attendant grabbed Suarez's luggage from the Arizona plane and drove his personal car from the ballpark to the hotel, then to the airport, and arrived at the same time that Suarez did in his Uber. So all these different organizations taking part to help Eugenio Suarez join his Seattle teammates to resume life as a Mariner. That's wacky. You add that into what? Was it Sir Anthony Dominguez who got traded in between games of a doubleheader and literally walked from clubhouse to clubhouse? And then when he walked out to his new bullpen, his old teammates in the old bullpen are standing there like, "What's up, man? What are you doing?" with the arms raised. I love the deadline. It is bizarre and fun. We've got Cubs information for you in terms of new guys who are here. You'll hear from one. I'll tell you where the other is hitting in the lineup. And hear my friend Barry Rosner on Ryan Sandberg. If you missed it, or you know somebody who missed it, tell them to gather near the radio. It's unbelievably great. We'll do that next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.